Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. Bill Russell and I have the delight to be with Robert Bly. Many people of my generation, also Thomas Lux's generation, who the poet who brought us together, the Vietnam War was absolutely defining in our experience, and you were a part of that process of the American people saying no. And yet this question of that you articulate in Call and Answer, why are we not speaking up as we did then?
What do you think?
This is the Robert Bly Show today. I would be happy to tell you that. I would much prefer to hear your answer.
Well, I'm not sure we any of us know, but I think that one of the major things that's happened since then is television has dumped junk into the minds of the young. What is it? 3 hours a day is a normal watching of television now for children. And it's unbelievable. I mean, this is real filth. Human filth being poured in by these optimistic idiots who run the television shows and imagine that they're doing something for humanity. They don't care about humanity, actually. Not at all. But what has happened is that we've sacrificed the young ones to this stupid idea that the media deserve attention. What will it be like to live in a country where no one reads? As we know, I remember Melodoma telling me that in Burkina Faso, they didn't read there. They didn't know what that was. And he found out that when a person like him began to learn to read, they would have to put a blanket over their bodies because of the tremendous energy that was being absorbed by the learning to read. Isn't that an incredible story?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been what has happened with us. We've been willing to make that sacrifice and put the blankets over our shoulders and learn this incredibly difficult thing of reading. And it was our job to transmit that to our children. And that's what happened in a little country school where I went. The teacher was always bringing books and doing this and this. And now the adults have simply copped out from their responsibility, become children themselves. I mean, I did that book called The Sibling Society.
Mm-hmm.
In which they are very hard to find an adult anymore. But an adult would be a person who said, these children need to learn to read, and simply sitting there absorbing that is a form of murder. It's a murder of the human psyche.
Absorbing television?
Yeah, just sitting there and absorbing these things coming in without having to do anything. I mean, we have one in the basement. I go and turn it on, and I say to myself, what right do I have to see these incredible things? What have I done to deserve this? You have to work. So anyway, I know I sound like an old Puritan one with work, but I'm saying that that the adults have betrayed the children, and you should allow your child 20 to 30 minutes at the maximum, and the rest of the time you say, if you don't read, you don't eat. Make up your mind.
There's another piece of this, I think, that you pointed to years ago in your discussion of Wallace Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship with William James, which I knew nothing about, and it makes them both, in many ways, much more interesting. But you are very generous about Wallace Stevens, but you also ultimately condemn him. And I think it relates to, it's part of, mm-hmm. It's not enough to read. You also have to do something with it. We have nominally a very educated bunch of people in this country, some of whom are actually running it. So, it's not just the ability to read. It is the willingness, the courage to do something with your knowledge.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I read that essay for the first time in 15 years, about a week ago, and I was surprised at what I'd said. I said that Wallace Stevens, the bringing into the shadow, and it means bringing in our animal past and all of that, he did it so brilliantly with his early metaphors, the crows are flying over Connecticut and their shadows brushing on all this. Wonderful work, and his poems became great unions of brilliant light and shadow. But bringing in the shadow is a serious question. It's a serious effort. And I feel that there's something in the universe that says, if you have that good luck to be able to bring in the shadow, you're going to have to change your way of life. And Wallace Stevens never did that. He remained in his insurance company, in which he did well, and then no change took place in his life. And I'd never thought that before, but that may mean that you get cursed in some way.
There's cost.
There's cost to that.
Better never to, I think you say, better never to have had that experience.
Than to have had that experience and then not avail yourself. And betray it, really.
The damage, there's even more damage by virtue of having had the experience and not using it.
Yeah, thank you.
And continue the conversation about William James. This is a very important insight. William James is known for many things, but this was a...
I still think he's part of the best psychologists that's ever been produced, and certainly in this country. But he was talking about dumbing down is not the word he used, but the disconnection from the world around us that he was seeing even at that period, which was the late 1900s, and the withdrawal from life experience.
Late 1800s, 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
I always back those around.
This 21st century has got me confused.
It was in the 1880s and 90s, in the beginning of the 20th century.
But it's important, I think, because the predicates of a corporate environment, of corporate capitalism, of corporate so-called democracy, we can see all the pieces there. The late 1890s and the late 1990s have a lot of similarities in terms of dominance. And what was happening then is that people were becoming managers. They were becoming bureaucrats. They were becoming, arguably, and I think this is part of what you were saying, they're becoming not people. We have lost access to all this richness that goes before. And bless you, you're bringing some of it back.
Hmm. Is that also what the Insanity of Empire, your collection, A Book of Poems Against the Iraq War, is that some of this same subject?
Well, yes. There's something insane about empire itself. The English did some marvelous work in India, but as it turned out, in the end, that was a form of English insanity, and the Belgian Congo was a form of immense Belgian insanity, which we're still watching in the destruction, continuing destruction of Africa, and that was all done through that empire mentality. But America, the insane idea that with our bad schools and with our unwillingness to read, our unwillingness to study, that we could have an empire. Please, what are you talking about? So it's insanity of the United States to imagine that it could have an empire. And
what are we lacking to do that?
Well, what did the English have? They had highly trained people who would go to India and try to make use of the value of the culture that they had there, and they were highly disciplined. And we send over kids from North Dakota. Who, you know what I'm saying? It's a heartbreaking kind of thing, and the people running it like Wolfowitz, and they have no culture at all.
Well, they also have no experience of what they're asking other people to do.
That's right.
Which I think is, and again, this goes to the importance of the work you and many others do of creating those. We can't all experience everything that's ever gone on in the world for the past 5 billion years since the beginning of the Earth. However, with access through our culture, by way of people like you who do reach back, who bring these other voices, who use language to create experiences, we don't have to be as ignorant as we seem to insist on being.
Go back. Have you finished your thought about William James?
Yes.
What was that?
My thought was that the William James, and particularly your critique of Wallace Stevens and his failure to utilize the gift that he had been given. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, the United States, I mean, we're all very proud of what we are and what we've done, or at least we have been, and we have had wonderful opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, all but particularly our generation,
the baby boom, and
subsequent, have been given everything. We have the whole world in front of us. We are not deprived. And yet we have done remarkably little with it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to overstate that, because there's a lot that has been done, but there's a great deal that has not been done that should have been done, and a great deal that has been done that should not have been done.
Yeah.
And it's been done, as you say in your poems, in our name. It is us.
Yeah. Well, Bush proves that don't try to get someone to run a United States who is a C student.
You also say, and it's interesting because we won't talk about it until we come back for the next segment.
Let me say one other thing.
Yes.
Now, a C student I can sort of deal with. Some of my best friends are C students. It is a C student who has no life experience.
And who is wealthy and had the resources with which to have had life experiences. Yeah. I was just going to say, you say in your new introduction to Iron John, after you say, what can I say? And I do want to talk about Iron John when we come back. But you say of the current sitting president of the United States that he is the dark son of a dark father. Mm. And that meant something to you, or you wouldn't have said it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't remember saying it, but it's true.
All right. When we come back, you will have thought about what it is that called forth from you. This is Robert Bly. Bill Russell and I, Paula Gordon, are delighted to be with him, and we'll all be back in just a moment.